Casino Press Box. Now here's Frank and Martin on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We are back, Frank and Martin, and it's Kansas Mizzou week, and who better to talk about that with than Ryan Robertson, the former Jayhawk, the man who won a state championship at the university, state championship at St. Charles West, had an unbelievable career at Kansas, an NBA player, played overseas. He joins us now. Good to be with you, sir. How are you?
Hi, Frank. Hey, Martin. How you doing?
Good. He rode Troy's coattails as long as he could,
That's
I believe,
what I've heard.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Winning those titles.
The great Troy Robertson. Hey, Frank, do you realize, I was thinking about this on my drive over, I've been coming on this show, your show, for 25 years.
Wow.
25 years. The first time I was with you on the radio, I was 16. I just turned 41. 25 years I've been on the radio with you.
You mean it was like right after the state championship or right in the...
Junior
year?
I was like a sophomore in high school. I was just coming up. I was playing varsity and you had me on and, you know, or what... I could tell you what Press Box it was at that time, but they're no longer a sponsor, so we'll keep that between us. But... That was 25 years we've been doing this.
Makes me pretty old here.
Yeah, I was thinking.
I was young at the time. I'm still relatively young. So,
wow. I'm
trying to think, Frank, when did you get to the market? About 25 years ago.
1993. Yeah. It was my first. Actually, 1993 is my first year back in St. Louis.
Okay. So that would have been like 94.
Almost 25. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wow.
Wow. Frank's a little depressed now.
I really am. So I mentioned this on the air is that Larry Thornton, our producer of television, who's a Mizzou zealot, I said, hey, by the way, I'm going to maybe get a quick soundbite with Ryan after the radio show tomorrow for the TV shows. And he goes, traitors hang for treason.
Yeah.
Didn't they have a big sign at Mizzou games?
Well, the thing that I don't know. I mean, that was yelled and said. It was more like the famous one the Antlers did was they put my college phone number up. So they like my actual dorm room phone number they held in a giant banner and it said for a good time call. And I was appreciative of the fact that they did the homework to find the number, like the real number. It wasn't just like it was my actual college dorm room phone number. So it was a tip of the cap on that one.
Did you get any dates out of it though?
No, not many phone calls either. Just I thought it was a funny
That's creative though.
Gag. Yeah, that is good.
A funny gag.
Now you played them 8 times and you won 5 or 6?
I think that's right. 6.
Yeah, and one of them was a great one in Columbia, and you actually went off the court almost like Joe Namath in Super Bowl III. Had your index finger up in the air.
So we were every game we went in there, and this is this is Mizzou, Kansas, any rivalry, whatever. But all 4 years we went in there, we were favorites. Probably 3 of the 4 we were heavy favorites.
You were number one in the country one of those years, maybe?
2 of the years we were number one in the country.
Two, Frank. It was
sophomore year was one of the great games in the history of the rivalry. My sophomore year, we were 19-0, number one in the country, headed in there. We lost in double overtime, so it was our only loss going into the NCAA tournament.
Was that the Corey Tate shot?
And that was the Corey Tate shot that he hit the shot in double overtime. It was a great game. But my senior year was the year you're referring to. So we had lost all 3 times we had been there. And then my senior year was probably not as good of a team as my first 3 years, and we ended up winning that year. So that just shows you the rivalry. You just kind of could throw out those rainy rankings and ratings and just 2 good teams going at it.
Now, I'm assuming Norm Stewart recruited you, right? His regime.
No, he did.
This is famous last words here. You got to hear this, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you would play him then, would he ever say, Ryan, good to see you again? Or would he literally turn his back and walk because you represented them?
Yeah, it would turn his back. Now, he made it really tough on me at the decision because I had known Coach Williams for a long time, had gone to his camp, and he and his staff did an unbelievable job recruiting me, and it got right down to the wire. It was, I really considered going to Mizzou, but at just the end of the day, it was Kansas. And so, but after I had made that announcement, he never, ever acknowledged me or talked to
Your
me
existence.
Or shook my hand.
Have you ever been with
him? I respect
since?
That.
I haven't. However, I've heard through the grapevine. So I wrote I think it was like, and believe it or not, for the Lawrence Journal World, I think I did an editorial the last time they played Kansas and Missouri. And I said something along the lines of, I would love to bump into Coach Stewart at some point now just to give him my respect and tell him how much I enjoyed, competing against him and, blah, 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 blah. And then I heard through the grapevine that he had actually read that editorial And he said something very nice and something similar and said, hey, I would love to bump into Ryan at some point. We really gave him a hard time when he played at Mizzou. Or, in fact, I actually think it was some sort of like Bill Self, Norm Stewart, Konzo Martin kind of thing where they were all on stage together and somebody asked him a question and Norm Stewart referred to me as somebody that, you know, the fans really got on and that he would love to see me at some point. So that was nice.
That game, his senior year, every time he even came close to the ball, every time he touched it, there was 14,000 at the Hearn Center booing like there's no tomorrow.
That was 4 years. That was freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Yeah. That wasn't just my senior year. That was for 4 years. In fact, my really good friend who lives in town saw, they showed an ESPN Classic game about 3 months ago. And he called me and said, I had forgotten how loud those boos were because it was on ESPN Classic. They showed like the 97 game or something. And every single time I touched it, it was a chorus of boos.
Now, Martin may not have heard this story, the bread company story.
Oh, so this was this is sort of dating ourselves, but this was probably, I've been out of college for 20 years. So this was 10 years ago. I'm in Columbia, Missouri, and I was having some meetings for business. But before I went into the meetings, I stopped into the Bread Co. for some coffee or whatever. And, you know, it's in Columbia, Missouri. So I have my head down. I've got a suit on. This is 10 years after I had graduated. I pay. I grab my stuff. I'm walking out the door. And right before I get to the door, loud boos. Like all of a sudden hissing and boos at the Panera Bread Company. And I turn around. And it's like these five fraternity guys in the corner that I guess had recognized me and just started booing me and pointing at me and, you know, giving me the look. And they kind of laughed about it. And I flipped them off and left. No, I didn't flip them off, but I just laughed about it.
Yeah. Now, the sad thing is those Mizzou guys, they were in school when you were in school and you'd been out for 10 years and they were still in school. So that's why they remembered
yeah.
you.
Yeah, probably.
Now, wasn't there one little harsh exchange between Norm and your dad?
So similarly, as the story goes, like I had just announced, and it was maybe a month after I had announced, and Coach Stewart was in town to do some sort of kickoff for the upcoming season.
Yeah.
And my dad was there with a bunch of basketball buddies from town. And after the banquet, or after Coach Stewart had gotten his comments or whatever, my dad went up to Coach Stewart and said, "Hey, Coach, just wanted to say thanks for recruiting my son. It was a great process, and thanks for being good to our family," and reached out his hand to shake his hand. And Norm said something, Coach Stewart said something along the lines of, you know, "Get out of here, go home and put on your blue Jayhawk coat." And then my dad had to be like restrained and they had to be separated and they got nose to nose. And so that's
nice.
That's wow.
Carpe diem, yeah. Norm.
You know, when Stepanovich turned down Notre Dame to go to Mizzou, and he also turned down North Carolina. This was the difference between Digger Phelps, who you don't have a really high opinion of. Did anybody really feel like, oh, I love Digger?
I wrote a letter to the editor at Marquette about how much I hated Digger because he like ragged on the Marquette fans. And I was very like, good. Oh, look in your own backyard.
Yeah, that's the way Digger was. So Mr. Stepanovich went up to him and did the exact same thing your dad did. And he says, "Just want to thank you for everything." And he says, "You can kiss my A," and just walked away.
Right.
And then the difference is Dean Smith, who Steve also said no to, sent Steve a Christmas card every year for like 15 straight years afterwards.
Boy, Stepo in his mail, whether it's Scott Rowland next door, the letter from
Inside
LaRussa.
Yeah, well, and good. You see, I don't know if you've seen this too, but there's online, you can find like letters from Coach Krzyzewski to Michael Jordan that says, "Hey, it was nice recruiting you. You're going to be a great player. Keep working hard," kind of thing. So those things, the opposite tends to happen as well from time to time.
I never blame an area kid that goes out of town. Like if Jason Tatum had gone to SLU or Mizzou, we would have loved it. It would have been great fun. But he's got a chance to go to Duke and be a one and done. If you go to SLU when they're down or Mizzou when they're down, how big a difference can you make? I've never understood that bitterness. Now, if I'm an alum, I might be. If I'm Norm, I might be kind of rude to you. That's probably how I would act.
Yeah.
But for the kids that choose to go elsewhere, I'm always like, good for them. How are you going to tell somebody not to play football at Notre Dame or
when
basketball at
Duke? When you made your
decision,
was Mizzou coming off an NCAA tournament year?
No.
Okay.
No.
See, like with Tatum, like I wanted him to go to SLU, but SLU was so bad at the time. Mizzou was so – it made no sense. But like if SLU is really good and Tatum's only going to be in college for 6 or 7 months, I think, you know what? You're going to be drafted the third. He would have been the third pick in the draft if he was coached by Jim Cruz or if he was coached by Mike Krzyzewski.
That's a good. That's true.
So, right.
And I've always wondered, what if he had gone to like Fontbonne and scored like 50 a game? I mean, that's how my brain works. Like, he would still be a high draft pick,
probably,
wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, nowadays, you're hearing some of these high school kids just go, you know what? I'm going to go to Europe.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm gonna go start getting paid now, and what's the point? Like, why even go through the motions of going through college?
All right, we'll ask you the same question that was just asked in our Five for Frank. Percentage chance of
zero.
Michael Porter.
Zero. Okay. I was listening. Yeah.
Why? But why is he saying that? Does he believe what he's saying?
You know, you kind of get swept up in the moment, right? You're a young guy, and all of a sudden now you're at Mizzou, and you're getting all this attention, and you're walking into your first college game ever against Kansas at the Sprint Center this weekend. You know, why not say what the fans want to hear and get them all excited and razzed up? But at the end of the day, I don't think it's a $10 million thing. I think it's a $100 million thing, right? Shoes, endorsements. You know, these guys, you know, nowadays to pass up the opportunity to go to the NBA when you're Michael Porter or Jason Tatum, but the more you think about it, I just don't even think it's not even worth the argument anymore.
You're absolutely right. But look, the reason I say it's 10% is, let's say Tillman is just a monster and Jeremiah gets better and better and everybody's coming back. So you win that national title, the first ever from Mizzou in your home state, with your dad on the sidelines and your brother in the post. I mean, I think I'd still put it at 10%. So,
well, in that scenario, what else is – I think the argument is, what else is there to prove? You know, you won the national championship for Mizzou. You go out – you talk about Joe
Namath.
I'm talking
about the second year.
Oh, the second
year. I would say like this year, let's say they disappoint greatly and they don't make the tournament. I think that's what he was alluding to, is that maybe if we – he said something about, if we don't live up to expectation, then maybe there was a chance. Like, you know, in other words, if it's a down year, boy, I'd hate for that to be my only year.
The truth is that – and I don't know Michael Porter Jr. at all. Like,
You because he goes to Mizzou.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Sure he does. Let's be honest. He doesn't know I exist. Right. Okay. So he doesn't even know who I am. But it always comes down to the kid. If he gets there and he ends up going, you know what? This college atmosphere is amazing. I'm actually enjoying my education. And I do know I'm going to be the number one or two or three draft pick this year, next year, or the year after. Maybe he does stay another year, because that's happened before. But it really just comes down to the kid going, I love college and I want to stay another year.
The biggest financial thing in this is not losing that first year of a rookie contract or losing the chew stuff and the endorsement. The biggest is you start your clock a year later of getting out of that three-year contract. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And you got to. There's only a finite number of years where you can go and make that kind of money. And so if you're going to be 19 and not start the clock of getting paid, you just lost one of those years. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're only going to play until you're 32, 3, 4, 5.
So when you were recruited, what was Kansas? What kind of shoe deal did they have? Was that a factor? We were talking about how kids now watch it and are influenced. I can't imagine turning a school down, though, because of who they're affiliated with shoe-wise.
I think it's different now, because I will tell you, I've heard Coach Self say to me personally and in public that I think that they're Adidas, they are an Adidas school, hurts them at times with some kids, that Nike has a bigger draw to some. Now, the contract, we all know what's going on in the news and the media and everything that's going on swirling around college basketball. When I got there, though, again, ages us.
T-Swiss, frankly.
I was Converse. We were Converse.
Really?
We were Converse.
Roy Williams was a Converse.
Yeah, because his best buddy was the rep at Converse, and we were there for 1 year, and then that relationship ended, and we immediately moved to Nike.
Not Chuck Taylor, not the Canvas.
Not the Canvas. Not that old.
Is Dr. J leather?
No. These were the old Converse shoes, and so that's who we were. But did I make a decision at all based upon shoes? No. But does that happen now? Absolutely. And that's part of the reasons why I think we're right on the verge or the cusp of college basketball changing in a really big way, because I think what's happened at Louisville is happening and has happened at other schools, and I think that's going to change sort of the landscape of college basketball going forward.
All right, let's talk coaches. I know you're real close with Roy because you played for him, but you're also tight with Bill Self. And I'm not just saying this because you're here. I think of all like the really big-time coaches in football and in basketball on the collegiate level, he's about the most normal and probably the genuinely the best guy, the nicest guy. Would you agree?
He is about as much fun as you can be with somebody. Like, just to be out on this patio to have a cocktail with or a beer. There's I can't think of anybody else, and I've been around a lot of Division I coaches and pro coaches, that he is as nice of a fun guy and good guy as there is that I've ever been around. Most everybody else that I've met with, and listen, Coach Williams, he's not somebody that you'd necessarily want to do that with, but comes at you from a different leadership style and a different style altogether. But yeah, to answer your direct question, is he about as normal as there comes in public? I think the answer is absolutely yes.
Because they're all kind of weird. They're all kind of psychotic. They're
Saban, Patino.
Yeah, I mean, and granted, there's a part of it that works for them and they're successful. And we're naming all the biggest names out there, but they have something in them where they cannot step outside of that and just be a different person.
There is a, with those guys, they're in their mind, and Coach Self has this too, but he does a better job of hiding it from the public. But there is a demeanor and a demanding sort of mentality that they have, that they feel like they just cannot allow anything to cross the line that they've set in that line they've set in the sand.
And do you
it's just really, really demanding to play for, difficult to play for, but they push their guys so hard that they get incredible results.
Gutfield, do you think his career ends in Lawrence, or do you think it ends in San Antonio or somewhere in the NBA?
Yeah, I've been saying for a long time that I thought he'd end up in San Antonio, and I really thought that it would be now, right now, or next year, or very soon, because his son was playing for him, and his son just graduated, so I kind of felt like, what else is there to accomplish at Kansas? His son is gone. You know, I've always looked at him as sort of somebody that's always wanted more and been sort of aspirational about what's next. But I also know that he has said, and he thinks that he has the best job in college basketball. He gets paid a tremendous amount of money. He's in the middle of the country versus the coast. So there's attention, but it's not like, you know, East Coast attention. So I don't know. I my gut tells me he goes somewhere else. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't have an inside track on that.
Is he universally loved, or are there Kansas fans like, boy, we haven't won in a while? You know,
he's universally loved, but I don't care where you're at. You could go to Duke and find a pocket of boosters who thinks that they could do better.
Yeah,
that's probably more frustrating to me than anything, is when you hear anybody say anything disparaging about Bill Self or Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski. I'm like, who do you think you are and who do you think you can get? Like, who is better than Bill Self or Roy Williams or Tom Izzo? Like, you can't do better than that. Don't even try.
I think Kansas fans on Selection Sunday just pray and hope that there's not a Missouri Valley Conference school that Kansas has to play in the tournament. That's all.
I think that's fair.
Oh, I don't know what to say to that.
Chuck Marlin just high-fived himself over those Bradley Braves.
We've had enough success against a lot. Have we lost a few? Yes. I think you give yourselves a shot. We're perennially Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four. You know, you got to get yourself in the game, and we've gotten ourselves in the game.
Are you going on Sunday?
I'm not. No.
Would you pay to watch it?
Because they're talking about pay-per-view. Because it's going to be on pay-per-view. Would you pay $25?
I'm new. This is all happened so quickly.
Yeah.
So it's on pay-per-view.
They're talking about it.
Yeah. That's the latest.
Okay, so if it's not on pay-per-view, and I'll answer your question in a second. So it's not going to be like ESPN's not going to pick it up or anything like that?
It will not be.
All right, so I don't know. What's the number being floated? I guess I'd pay $50.
Have we heard a number yet, price-wise? No, not yet.
Okay. Well, maybe we should just rank it on income. So he's paying $50, the rest of us will pay a little less.
That's right.
Ryan's willing to pay. Or you pay $50, and then you have some Kansas buddies come over.
Right.
And you charge them.
I don't know if I have. Do I have any? I don't know if I have any Kansas buddies.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. We have to take a short time out. Before we go to break, quick word about Westminster Christian Academy. And Ryan, how would you describe your daughter's experience at WCA?
She is a seventh grader. And, you know, when you drop off your kid for junior high the first day, you just want them to come back and have a smile on her face. And she jumps out of the car every day, has loved every second of it, loves the school, the education, the friends she's made. I can't say enough great things about it. We've only been going for about 6-8 weeks now, but she absolutely adores it.
All right. That's our live read for today. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back.